Nikula, welcome to the Conversations on Buddha Nature. It's a great honor to have you with us. Through these conversations, we hope to develop a space for stimulating and inspiring exchanges of insights and experience on Buddha Nature and related subjects, while engaging in an exercise of right speech, mindful listening, and wholesome exploration of the purpose and meaning of life and existence. We hope to enhance the understanding and awareness of Buddha Nature and promote the ethos of innate goodness and positive perception as much as we can. This year has been particularly difficult for many people around the world. While some are going through a lot of stress and frustrations leading to low self-esteem, self-hatred, and depression, others have projected their frustrations onto other people through insular thinking, bigotry, and aggression. So at such times, it behoves us to look inward and reflect on our nature, which we believe is good and positive, the Buddha nature. So it's a great honor for us to have you here as our first guest for the conversation, since you have championed this message of inherent goodness, particularly in the Western world through your books and talks, and also through your compassionate activities. So I would like to begin with this question, Methula, of when did you and where did you actually first come across this concept of Buddha nature? Or where did you receive the teachings on Buddha nature? And what kind of first impression did it have on you? Can you recall anything outstanding, special?
Yes. So first of all, you know, I'm so glad to be here with all of you, old friend. And I want to express also my deep gratitude because there's been so many years now associated with the Sattva Foundation. And on many aspects, all the books were printed in Nepal at Kensana Moshe's Monastery, the Rinchen Terzo, you know, so many volumes. And also the support for the translator, all that is so precious. So my first encounter with the Buddha nature, almost should say, when did I first forget the Buddha nature? Which is, I guess, when, you know, at the time, not me, but something happened that when the appearance from the primordial ground arose and there was some kind of switch that somehow the nature was not recognized and the whole samsara, and then we are here. But as an embodiment of the Buddha nature, I must say, without even knowing about the concept, when I met my first teacher, Kangyu Rinpoche, for me, not then and now, is the closest thing that I can imagine about Buddha nature being appearing or being manifested in the human form, in sense of displaying what lies at the end of the path and what it looks like for a human being when all the whatever has to be dispelled in terms of darkness and obscuration has been dispelled and whatever quality needs to be bloomed has been bloomed. But at that time, it was more like a source of inspiration. And my main practice was to try to mingle my little confused, narrow mind with this vast, compassionate and wisdom mind. I have no idea about the formal practice, but spontaneously, the idea of mingling my mind with my teacher's mind, the Guru Yoga, and sort of resting in that, what seems to be merging with this immense awareness of his, sort of was, I think, for me, the quintessence and still the quintessence of all practices. And if you think about it, if you really can do that properly, this, you are bound to actualize the Buddha nature. And then later, after Kangyu Rinpoche passed away, I was greatly fortunate to be taken in hands by Diko Kensei Rinpoche, whom you met. I gave you a name, no? Is it? No, maybe not. I thought you met him when you were very young, no?
Yes, indeed. He's a very young boy. I wouldn't say I really met him, but got teachings from him.
So then at that time, you know, I could speak Tibetan and receive this. And he was constantly all and on and on and on giving teachings of all kinds, sometimes to 10,000 people, sometimes to an old practitioner who came with a you know, funky scarf to offer, and he would, in the same way, grant his teachings to anyone who would request. And since I was one of his attendants, so we will receive as well all those teachings. So then I start to, you know, more get an idea of the actual more content of the Buddhist teaching, and that notion, of course, came across in all the commentaries that Kensei Moshe was explaining and the peak instruction he was giving. And I remember very well that you know, he was very often bringing that subject of the Buddha nature by referring to a quote from the Trancaparamita in 8,000 verse, which says, Sem Lamachi, Sem Kironshin Osawa Wo. So Sem means the mind. And the mind here refers to the deluded mind, the mind which is confused, the mind that takes us endlessly in samsara. And so to address that, the Buddha turned the first turning of the wheel with the Four Noble Truths. Then Sem Lamachi is the second turning of the wheel, which is about emptiness. So according to Kensei Rinpoche, why making the strong emphasis on emptiness first, in a way, before revealing or coming to the teaching on the qualities of the Buddha nature, which are inherent to all sentient beings and to the Buddhahood? And Kensei Rinpoche would say that it is because among the two extremes in which we can fall, either nihilism or sort of realism, or say naive materialism, which is to believe that all phenomena solid existence, that there is a self that is autonomous, that is unitary, that is lasting, all that reification of the phenomenal world and the self is the, and the grasping we have to it is the major factor that keeps us in samsara. So that's the main thing that we begin, which we need to first to address. There is very little risk for ordinary beings to fall into nihilism. There's not a single ordinary being who thinks that nothing exists. So that danger is not there. So that's why we need that first very strong antidote before we can introduce the notion of the qualities of the Buddha nature, the qualities of the Dharmakaya, which are always there. Otherwise, if we introduce maybe too early, beginners might, we are still not free from those grasping to solidity of the true existence of phenomena, might graft it as something again, some kind of entity, some kind of super Atman or something. So Kensei Rinpoche used to give an example, which I think is found in the Yontenzo of Jimmy Limpa and the commentaries. It's like a mother with a newborn baby. And if the baby cannot digest the milk, and here the milk is the milk of the Buddha nature, of the luminosity and the clarity aspect, then the mother has to put some kind of very bitter substance on their breast so that the baby first does not drink the milk until he has cured from that. So that's why the emphasis is on emptiness. Then, of course, the Sem Machi. So Sem Machi, the mind is devoid of true existence. It establishes the view of emptiness. The Sem Kironshin Osawa Ho, then it shows the clarity, the knowing, the wisdom aspect, all the different qualities that emerge, that are co-emergent with the Buddha nature. And that's the third turning of the wheel of the Dharma. That's the 10 ultimate meaning sutra and so forth. So in that sense, that comes in due time with the three turning of the wheels. But of course, Kensei Rinpoche would say, like in the same way that we say for the two truths, the relative truth and the absolute truth, likewise, emptiness and luminosity or clarity or the qualities of Buddha nature are not like two horns of a cow, two separate entities that somehow we go from one to the other. In order to fulfill that, the goal of turning the wheel of the Dharma, they have to be seen as united, of course, and indissociable. If you look at the emptiness aspect, there's the second turning of the wheel. If you look at the luminous aspect, that's the quality. So I think that's one of the things that Kenshin Moshe would constantly explain. And then also he would often speak of Buddha nature in terms of the ground, the path, and the fruit. So the ground Buddha nature, according to the Nyingma view, we certainly all sentient beings have it, like oil in any seed. So there's, it is not like just a potential. I mean, it's completely fully there and never changed. Nothing can improve it and nothing can degrade it. It's just the way things are. Now, the path is not to precisely fabricate perfection of the Buddha nature, because you cannot fabricate perfection. Fabrication comes in stages. It has different aspects. It is bound to be compounded, impermanent, so it doesn't fit with the Buddha nature. So the stages of the path, which has, of course, changing, which has steps and which are sort of changing, this is veils that mask the Buddha nature and that we need to dispel to the different methods and stages of the path. And those are by nature impermanent, compounded, and do not belong to the Buddha nature. So finally, he would explain also the Buddha nature at the time of the fruit, which is not like a maturing the fruit itself, but simply the natural actualization and full manifestation of what was already there completely in the ground. So he would say that, and sometimes he would also relate to the first pronouncement of the Buddha, I have found it true, that is profound, that is luminous, that is beyond concept and uncompounded. And would say that the Buddha could have stopped there, because the whole Buddha nature, the ultimate truth, the very goal of Buddha's teaching was there, but since being not able to understand that, so everything else, all the leading to the Buddha, to understanding that, was stopped by the Buddha. So in a way, that's how the Kenshin Moshe would teach. And then another way, he would relate it to practice. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that after that.
Thank you. I mean, this is absolutely beautiful. I think you are conveying the meaning of Buddha nature from Kenshin Rinpoche in such a concise, very, but at the same time, deep way, bringing the luminosity that we find in the 8,000 verses of Perfection of Wisdom. I think we also have this description of Buddha nature as the luminous aspect of the mind in earlier sutras like the Anguttara Nikaya in the Theravada canon, but especially relating Buddha nature and its empty luminous nature to the different sets of the teachings that the Buddha has given is really beautiful. And similarly with how it is connected to the ground path and the result.